Hello, everyone, and welcome back to Astrology Now podcast. My name is Christine Rodriguez, and in this segment, we are going to be discussing the month of November 2023, doing our monthly horoscope. So just a reminder, as always, here on Astrology Now, we use the Vedic sidereal system of astrology, which is different than the Western tropical system. If you'd like to learn more about the differences between Western and Vedic astrology, you can go to my website, innerknowing.yoga, click on media, and then Astrology Now. You'll find a podcast embedded there, which will share many of the differences between these two systems of astrology. But again, if you come from a Western tropical background, the signs that I'm using are going to be different. For example, we are not yet in Scorpio season. As we move through November, then we will enter Scorpio season. If you were to hold up a star app to the sky and find where the sun is, of course, don't look directly at the sun, of course, you will see that the sun is still astronomically in the sign of Libra when this posts here in early November, and we will not see the sun enter Scorpio astronomically until later in the month around November 16th, which we will get into. But just a reminder that the sidereal system is what follows the astrological placement or the astronomical placement of the planets. So I am feeling quite cozy. Some of you know that I am a Cancer rising in the sidereal system, of course, and Cancer is all about the home and security, feeling safe, feeling cozy. And though I have a lot of other placements in my chart that kind of, you know, let me be more adventurous and nomadic, when I come home, it always feels really good. And so I was in Las Vegas for the last month with my boyfriend. We were rock climbing and having a great time together, adventuring around, and we're spending a few days here in Austin, Texas in my home. And so it's just been so beautiful. I'm like looking at my altar right now, my beautiful photo of Radha and Krishna, all of my plants that I love, my plant babies, like my dog is so happy to have his backyard. So all of us are just kind of taking a moment to like steep in the sweetness of Austin. Of course, it's particularly sweet to me because I've been here for so long. And then we will be off again to climb for another month, which will be super fun. I work remotely, of course, so I'll be working. He's kind of taking time off, and we'll go visit his family after that, which I'm so excited about. And then we'll come back here and see my family. So that's what's on my schedule. But what started that entire tangent was just to say, like, just like the gratitude for home. Like having my own space, having the beautiful photos, having plants, even like having my pets as companions. I just feel overwhelmed with abundance. And I want to extend that, you know, because I think that sometimes we can lose sight of it. I think that sometimes we can lose sight of how much abundance we have in our lives and how beautiful our lives can be. And you know, throughout all of time, there has been oppression and there have been atrocities and there have been areas of the world that are war stricken. And I know that right now, especially, we're being reminded of that. And there's just so much heartbreak and so much difficulty and challenge. And of course, you know, our hearts break for that. And I think that it's just so profoundly helpful to find the gratitude, right? Like to find the gratitude for what is occurring in our lives, the abundance, the safety, the security. And it's just like, that's fundamental, right? And then we have the additions, beautiful artwork, having food that not only sustains us, but actually like tastes good and like the luxury of that. And having relationship, having family, you know, what, however complicated, you guys know I have a complicated family life, but I still feel grateful for it, you know? So anyway, I just want to extend that because I think that it's just so important. I think that it's so important to appreciate the universe for what we have. And I think it's almost like a slap in the face to the universe if we're being offered something, if there is some sort of grace or abundance or luck or fortune or love, and it goes unacknowledged and unappreciated. And I just think it's so important to acknowledge those things from the universe and also in the world around us, which we're actually going to get into today because Venus is going to be debilitated. So we're going to spend some time talking about how to counteract that energy potentially. But again, I just hope that that lands out there for someone. And it's just like, even that being said, like, I'm so grateful to be sitting down talking about astrology. And I'm just like so grateful that you're listening and that you're here and that hopefully wherever you are safe and you have sustenance, you know, and that you're able to rest tonight. So wherever you are, I am feeling into you through the ether and just sending you all of my love and all of my gratitude for having some element of connection. So we've been through a lot. I feel like 2023 has been an interesting year. Again, I think globally as a collective, we've been moving through a lot. Some of us on a personal level have been having an amazing year, which is awesome. You know, for those of you that are feeling amazing and feeling good and having outstanding changes, like that's awesome. And also as a collective, I feel like this has been an interesting time to say the least. And so we're going to talk about the month of November. This is a huge month. I was talking to my boyfriend about this actually, and I was like, look at how much is going on this month. And we were kind of sitting and talking about some of the events going on and brainstorming and talking about numerology, which I'm going to talk about. So anyway, I'm excited to share everything with you because this is a really busy month. I'm like checking out my notes and there's just so much to talk about. So as usual, I'm going to try to get through this relatively briefly, try to keep this digestible for everyone. The biggest thing happening here in the month of November is that the nodes of Rahu and Ketu are changing signs. And so something that is so important to know about the Vedic sidereal system of astrology is that there are two ways of calculating the nodes and how the nodes transit and when they transit. And so there is the true node system and the mean node system. I have had amazing teachers use both systems. I am on the true node system train. That's always been what I've studied and what I've used. And again, I know profound astrologers that use both. So it's up to you. But according to the mean node system, Rahu and Ketu have already transited into the signs of Pisces and Virgo. Again, this is monumental. According to the true node system, which is what we are going to be following here on Astrology Now, Rahu and Ketu will transit on November 28th, where they will stay until May of 2025. So really exciting things to talk about. The nodes changing signs is, again, it's huge. It only happens once every 18 months. And remember that the karmic nodes shape what type of karmic events are coming to the surface for us collectively. Absolutely, Rahu and Ketu are going to have a profound impact on us individually, especially if you are a Pisces moon, Pisces rising, Virgo moon, Virgo rising. If you have many planets in either of those signs, it's going to be huge for you. And as a collective, you know, this is going to be big. And something that I remind everyone about is that remember when Rahu and Ketu were in the signs of Taurus and Scorpio, all of this scorpionic stuff started coming to the surface. This is when we were learning more about Jeffrey Epstein and the corruption in Hollywood and in the political system. When Rahu and Ketu moved into Aries and Libra, I mean, this is the most recent transit, right? This is what we've been experiencing. So much around diplomacy, around what's fair, around what's right, around independence. I remember specifically talking about the nakshatra of Barney having to do with female reproduction, and this is when Roe v. Wade was overturned. So again, I cannot stress and emphasize enough the significance of Rahu and Ketu changing signs. Huge. Karmic matters collectively come to the surface. It's big. So Rahu is entering the sign of Pisces and Ketu is entering the sign of Virgo. So I'll do an entire segment on this for each of the 12 zodiac signs. I will absolutely do a segment presenting the research that I've found with this placement. And so we'll do that kind of later in the month, which I am very excited about. And so that is kind of the trajectory moving forward with Rahu and Ketu. We'll talk about it a little bit more today, but let's go ahead and take it from the top, looking at the beginning of November. So looking at the beginning of the month here, from November 3rd until November 29th, Venus is going to be in the sign of Virgo. So when Venus is in the sign of Virgo, it is technically debilitated. And it makes logical sense, right? So Virgo is the sign of analytics, of being logical and reasonable and rational. It's ruled by the planet Mercury. So it wants things to be compartmentalized, to be organized, to make logical sense. Venus is the planet of art and luxury and romance and how things feel, and it's this more whimsical, creative, expressive planet. So when this artistic, nonlinear, playful, you know, artistic planet is in the sign of Virgo, it becomes debilitated because Virgo is trying to create linear thinking, right? Organized thought, which I actually think is really interesting for several reasons. First of all, I think that when people hear like Venus debilitated, they think of, oh, there's like no artistic talent, there's no beauty, there's no fashion sense. And it's actually not the case at all. What really happens is that Virgo makes Venus incredibly perfectionistic. And it does make it more linear. Pablo Picasso had debilitated Venus. He's arguably the most famous artist of all time. And his Venus, the planet of art and creativity, was debilitated. But when we look at his art, it's linear, right? It's like boxes. Like, it's interesting, kind of has that take. And so Venus can still be very artistic, very creative, very, very beautiful, but it can become more linear and it becomes, again, more perfectionistic and more detailed. So you will see a lot of fashion icons, a lot of really, really beautiful people with Venus and Virgo, and they have that attention to detail, every minute detail. So the wardrobe is going to be perfect. The hair is going to be perfect. The look and style is going to be perfect. And there could be extreme self-criticism. You know, there could be limiting ourselves for the sake of being perfect. Like, if we're not being perfect, we're holding ourselves back. Or even, you know, Pablo Picasso clearly is not an example of this, but some people may be highly creative but never create because of that self-criticism, or their perfectionism is holding them back, right? If they can't make it absolutely 100% perfect, then they're not going to do it. That it can become very easily unbalanced that way. But I wanted to throw that out there because I know some of you have a debilitated Venus, and I bet that even though you have a debilitated Venus, you're probably creative and have a great sense of style, and you probably do have that perfectionistic energy. But I just wanted to throw that out there. We're going to talk a lot about Venus and Virgo. So Venus and Virgo, again, when it is balanced, this is a really beautiful energy because Venus, again, is the planet of love and romance, and Virgo is perfectionistic and it does excel to enhance and to do things better and to be organized and be practical and rational. And Virgo is the sign of healing and the sign of service. And so when Venus is in Virgo, this is a beautiful time to remember the love language of acts of service for helping and supporting the people in our lives, the people around us, maybe even animals or causes, whatever it may be. And really remember the balance of logic, rationality, and reasoning with sensitivity, feelings, and emotion, right? I think that Venus in Virgo has a tendency to be logical and rational and, you know, reasonable when it comes to matters of the heart. Sometimes, again, if it's out of balance, maybe too much so. And so the natural energy that we're experiencing is probably going to push us in that direction, where maybe we're wanting to be a little bit more grounded and pragmatic in connection, which can be very, very helpful and very, very supportive. I think that it's so important to make decisions from a rational, practical place. I really do. And again, sometimes if we're only operating from a place of logic and rationality, we ignore feeling and we miss out on connecting from a place of sensitivity. But then if we're only, you know, being sensitive and being ruled by our emotions, we can totally become messes very, very quickly. I know I have done that many times where I choose to speak from a place of emotion or act from a place of emotion and have an impact on someone that I wasn't intending to have. You know, for me, I'm so much more effective if I have my inner experience. I recognize that feelings are intangible and they come and go. And once they pass, then I can sit and make a decision or make a statement or have a conversation when I'm in my rational mind. And so again, I think that Venus in Virgo can be so powerful to remind us of that. We just don't want to go overboard and not be sensitive to the feelings of people around us. And that is something to really keep in mind. When Venus is in Virgo, we can become much more critical. We can become much more harsh. We can become much more perfectionistic. And I talk about this sometimes with Virgonian individuals is that sometimes like they'll see the benefit or excuse me, they'll see the potential in someone and they'll see that they can do better and that they can work harder or that they can like evolve more. And their faith in someone else and their desire to watch this other person grow and succeed can come off as like critical and belittling to other people sometimes. You know, it can come off as harsher. So that's just like an energy to be mindful of. Like just be mindful that your desire to see somebody grow or your desire to see somebody like perfect something, it may come off, it may land sideways with somebody else. So just kind of keep that in mind moving through the month. So again, be mindful of criticism, be mindful of perfectionism, be mindful of grass is greener mentality in relationships of all kinds. I'm talking, you know, I kind of make references towards intimate relationships, but this, man, I hate saying that because intimate relationships are friendships also, romantic relationships. But it could be friendships, it could be family members. We want to be mindful of the criticism, we want to be mindful of the perfectionism, and again, comparison. We don't want to compare our people to other people. So those are things to be mindful of. The things to lean into, I'll reiterate, balancing rational, logical thought with sensitivity and emotion, and bringing ourselves into the present, finding a really grounded reality with our feelings. And as I've actually been having this conversation a lot recently, is I do this. Surely I'm not alone in this. I can operate in present day experiences as if I was reliving something from my past. So for example, someone can make a comment to me that resembles a negative comment I heard back in the day that had a negative impact on me, and it was from someone who I have, you know, negative energy around or whatever. And then suddenly I start feeling that like triggered sensation, whether I'm aware of it or not. And I'm like, man, like this person thinks this of me and now this is going to happen and this is their agenda. It's like, wait a second. Let's get up to speed on where we are now with the relationships that we're in now, with the conversations that we're having now. It's inevitable that we're going to hear certain words that are similar. We're going to have certain experiences that are similar. And it's so important to approach these new situations, these new people, and these new conversations with a fresh perspective, trying not to project the past, right? And so that, again, I think that Venus in Virgo is great for that because it offers that groundedness and that discernment. Virgo is a very discerning sign. So I just want to share that. Another thing that I think is very positive to remember while Venus is debilitated in Virgo is to remember what people are doing well and let them know. So acts of service, acts of generosity, acts of hospitality, maybe even doing something that's healing with someone else, like getting a massage with a friend, getting on a health kick with a partner, like meal prepping, doing something healthy for everyone, whatever it may be, getting an Ayurvedic consultation with your mom, like whatever, doing something healing together, beautiful idea. And reminding our people what they're doing well. If they cook dinner, if they wash the dishes, if they run the errands, if they're mindful of our schedule, right? Just like the small things day to day that support collaboration and a harmonious relationship, noticing it, verbalizing it, letting people know. That's kind of the opposite of that criticism perfectionistic way. And again, just be mindful of that grass is greener mentality. Neptune is currently in Pisces. So Virgo is going to be opposite, right? Venus, excuse me, is being aspected by Neptune by opposition. And so it can create a spiritual attraction. If some of you are single, you may meet someone, or even a friend, you may meet someone who has like this spiritual attraction, the spiritual edge to them. It's also possible that you can meet someone that feels kind of idealistic. You might meet someone who kind of checks all the boxes and just, you know, be really grounded and really stay connected to yourself during that experience if it happens. And if you are in a relationship, Venus in Virgo can create the grass is greener mentality. So grass is greener where you water it. Try not to get swept away with those types of thoughts. And my final thought on that, again, focusing on praise and appreciation. So Saturn is going to direct at 6 degrees of Aquarius on November 4th. This is another transit that is quite significant for the world at large. So Saturn direct in Aquarius. Aquarius is the sign of humanitarian efforts. It's a sign of groups coming together. It is futuristic in nature. It's wanting to move forward. It has everything to do with outer space and aliens, and again, like pioneering human thought, AI. So while Saturn has been in Aquarius since January of 2023, we've been seeing all this stuff about UFOs and aliens and outer space and Elon and, you know, AI. It's like AI has taken over everything. We're seeing all this AI stuff on it. Honestly, let's just stop for a second. I think it's so cute when my friends and loved ones do all the AI stuff. Like, I have no judgment on that. I love it. One of my best friends, Vanessa, did it, and she did like a voiceover and I was cracking up. It was great. And also, there is some weird stuff going on. Like, I don't know if y'all have seen this. One of the Jenners, I don't know which one. I've never watched those shows, whatever. One of them, like, gave rights and liberties over her physical body somehow, and they created this AI image of her called Billy, and you can go to her Instagram and it's like her, it's like videos and images that look just like her, but it's only AI, and she'll like communicate with you. Like, that stuff is so bizarre to me. So bizarre. Anyway, and then also I saw these other AI images of like Lana Del Rey and Taylor Swift. It's so real and then so eerie, and I feel very strange about it. So I know some of you out there are really excited about the AI stuff. I know some of you feel more similarly to me. I have no doubt that there are benefits that will likely come from AI somehow. And also, I am very much, you know, I like things to be as real as possible. But anyway, that's a Saturn in Aquarius thing. And so Saturn has been retrograde. It's going to direct at 6 degrees of Aquarius. If you have planets at 6 degrees of Aquarius, this is definitely going to have an impact on you in a significant way. If you have planets at 6 degrees of Aquarius, 6 degrees of Leo, or even the fixed signs Taurus and Scorpio, you could feel this in a very big way. And it depends on the planet. You know, if you have Venus at 6 degrees of Aquarius, it could be about love and relationship and romance. If it's the moon, it could be the mind, the mother, your emotional state. And you also want to see what it governs in your chart, right? So if your natal Saturn is at 6 degrees of Aquarius and Saturn governs your seventh house of relationships, then it could be, you know, well, it would be in the seventh house. So it would definitely impact your relationships. But let's say, for example, if Saturn is at, or Saturn is directing at 6 degrees of Aquarius, you have Mercury at 6 degrees of Aquarius, and Mercury governs your seventh house of relationships. Again, it could have an impact on the seventh. If it is the fourth house of homeland real estate, it could have an impact on real estate. So that is how, of course, you want to look at it. And for us on a global level, this will, you know, have a pretty big impact. Remember that Saturn is a social planet, so it influences culture, it influences ideology, it influences what we're focusing on. And so Aquarius having to do with, you know, first like AI, outer space, aliens, I think that there will be something occurring around this time in regards to these matters. But what I'm really thinking about is the humanitarian elements. And Saturn in Aquarius very much has this power to the people energy. I've been saying this for months. You know, it's very much focused on the collective, on people coming together, people connecting and combining forces outside of the usual means of doing so. So, for example, when we think about people coming together, maybe it's like the Democrats or the Republicans or the Libertarians or whatever it may be. Saturn in Aquarius, it's different. It's people coming together in a different way. It's people coming together in a futuristic way outside of the confines that have been constructed by society previously. Because again, Aquarius is futuristic. It's moving forward. It's doing things differently. Aquarius is very revolutionary. And so I think that people are going to be connecting in a new way and in a different way. And there's going to be calls to do so. And even before Saturn is directing, I think that we are getting a sense of that now. I think that people are combining forces and demanding a change and demanding their voices to be heard in a new way. And I think that we'll see the continuation of that. And I think that Saturn going direct is going to amplify that. So Mercury is moving into the sign of Scorpio on November 6th. It will be there until November 26th. We'll kind of talk more about Scorpio in a moment. We will have our new moon in the sign of Libra at 26 degrees of Libra in the nakshatra of Vishakha on November 13th. And this new moon, of course, is going to be with the planet Mars in K2. I do see this as being a very intense time. Something that we were looking at earlier with the numerology is I was curious about the number 13, which, just an aside, Friday the 13th, what I was learning, not now, I'd actually learned this a little bit ago, but we were talking about it today, is that there are 13 menstrual cycles throughout the year. And so Friday the 13th, originally being associated to the goddess Freya, it also has this association to the menstrual cycles throughout the year, which was really fascinating. So anyway, I was looking at the numerology of the 13th, and there's an association to pragmatism and stoicism and being grounded and rational. And I thought that that was just such interesting numerology, given the fact that Venus will be in Virgo. We're having a new moon in Libra in the nakshatra of Vishakha. And remember that Libra is about what's fair and what's right and what's just. It's the scales of justice and it's the scales of balance, which is inherently pragmatic, right? And Vishakha is such a powerful nakshatra. So we'll spend a lot of time talking about the new moon in Libra. So we'll have a full segment on that. So Mars will enter Scorpio from November 15th until December 28th, which we're going to talk about. The Sun is going to be in Scorpio from November 16th until December 16th. So remember, this is the sidereal system. So if your birthday is between November 16th and December 16th, according to the sidereal system, your sun is in the sign of Scorpio. So happy birthday, all of our Scorpio suns. Thank you so much for making the world so much more mystical and interesting and full of depth and symbolism. I feel like Scorpionic individuals have such a way of seeing beneath the surface, rather it be something mundane in material life, or of course, when we get into the more esoteric occult life. I've had Scorpionic individuals join me in classes before, and I just feel like they always have the most rich, in-depth, insightful, interesting things to say. And I mean, you're Scorpio, right? That eighth house magic. It's all about transformation and change and diving deep. Something that I learned years ago is that when an individual chooses to incarnate, when they choose to be born with the sun in Scorpio, they're choosing a life of shedding immense karma. Because of course, the serpent is constantly shedding layers and shedding skin. And so for those of you who have sun in Scorpio, you chose a life where you'll have so many lifetimes in one, where you close a chapter and open a new one and are given, you know, new opportunities. But again, a lot of opportunities to grow and transform and kind of shed any karmic burden. So congratulations, congratulations on that for choosing a life of metamorphosis. So that being said, we have three planets in Scorpio. We have Mercury, Mars, and the Sun building in the sign of Scorpio come mid-November. And this is officially Scorpio season. It's like what I was talking about earlier. I was saying when we had the karmic nodes enter Scorpio, all of this stuff started coming out about Jeffrey Epstein and the corruption in the political realm and in Hollywood. I believe that this period of time, you know, from November into December, I think really interesting information is going to be coming out. And I think that there is going to be a lot of intensity. You know, Mars and Scorpio, Mars is in its own sign when it's in Scorpio. And Mars is the planet of war and aggression and explosive behavior. And it is also the warrior. And a warrior has to be intelligent. It has to be strategic. It has to be pragmatic. And so when Scorpio is holding these planets, especially Mars, I think there's going to be a lot of focus on strategy, on war, on being intelligent with these things. And so I think that different alliances will be shifting for sure, because K2 is going to be moving out of Libra. So I think that we're going to be seeing alliances shift. I think that there are going to be different opinions coming out about war and controversy and these things. And I definitely believe that there's going to be conflict with world leaders, of course. And world leaders are going to be focusing on this strategy and technique, and maybe even, you know, behavior that was unanticipated, because Scorpio can be secretive and hidden. And so this is going to be a hot month. It's going to be, of course, Martian in nature, because Scorpio is ruled by Mars. And so on a global level, I do see this being an intense month. I do think that there is going to be continued controversy. And I think that there is going to be a lot of that coming up in the news too, with Mercury and Scorpio. And remember that on the negative side, Scorpio can be manipulative. It has like a smoke in the mirror effect. It can offer death and rebirth. You know, Scorpio has a reputation for being secretive and controlling, and again, manipulative for a reason. And so there can be power struggles. There can be acts of control and acts of, you know, like making power moves, so to speak. And so on a global level, I do think that information will be revealed. I think that there may be also information that's trying to be concealed. It's a very important time to ask questions, to think critically, and just, you know, kind of be ready for interesting things to be coming out, especially in the media with Mercury being there too. Now, on a personal level, in our personal lives, first of all, things can be coming out. Like information may be coming out. You may be learning more secrets. There may be something from the past that's coming up for you to learn about. And this is an amazing time to strip back psychological layers. So it's an amazing time of self-discovery, of diving deep into our subconscious, of noticing different cycles about ourselves, of having our own individual death and rebirth. So again, on a personal level, if you're interested, I mean, you're listening to an astrology podcast, if you're interested in like self-growth and self-discovery, this is a very amazing time. And just be mindful of what is coming up, because there could be some powerful stuff coming up. All of these planets in Scorpio will be aspected by Saturn. And so that can absolutely bring up some fears. It can bring up some anxieties. It can bring up latent fears and anxieties. As I was mentioning earlier, that desire to project our past experiences onto the present, this is the opportunity to get ourselves up to speed in the present and approach things from that place of newness, to give ourselves the opportunity to live a new life, really, instead of living in the past and projecting the past. There can be deep fears coming to the surface, as I mentioned, latent anxiety. What did I write here? Oh, I wrote self-discovery is not for the faint of heart. So some of us may be in therapy, or we may be having a coaching session or a conversation, and we may learn something about ourselves that's kind of surprising. We may learn something about ourselves that's kind of shocking. It could happen with someone that we know as well. So just kind of be open to our paradigm shifting, of how we perceive ourselves shifting, how we perceive others shifting. It's an outstanding time for any type of self-growth or spiritual growth work. Another note that I took here is being logical and reasonable and stoic in the face of vacillating feelings. So there's a lot of this coming up in the astrology right now, is being able to stay steady despite stimulus. And I actually talked about this in the Inner Knowing Vedic coaching program. We spend a lot of time talking about yoga, like what yoga is. And when we're learning how to control our mind and how to control our reactions to things, one of the big steps in doing that is putting a wedge between a stimulus and how we respond. If we can do that, we're well on our way to mind control, right? If an argument is happening, if our feelings get hurt, whatever it may be, if we can pause, sit, and rationalize before choosing to respond, we are demonstrating a lot of control, a lot of mind control, a lot of emotional control. This is a great reminder that is, you know, that's yoga in a lot of ways. So that is what I have on Scorpio season. We have our full moon in Rohini on November 27th, which we will do a segment on. I love Rohini. I love when we get to have a full moon in Rohini. Rohini, remember, is the moon's favorite lunar mansion. And so I do think that this is just an opportunity for a little bit of reprieve. Again, that reminder to move into gratitude, of move into comfort. I feel like Scorpio, it's not comfortable. I love Scorpio. I have lots of Scorpio friends. I have lots of Scorpio in the audience. And the energy of Scorpio is not comfortable because it's constantly changing. And humans don't like change, right? We like things to stay consistent. We like things to be predictable. Change and transformation can often be uncomfortable, especially to a planet like the moon, right? The moon really craves that security and consistency. When the moon is in the sign of Taurus, it's exalted. And there are a lot of stories, which we will review in an upcoming podcast, on the moon particularly loving the nakshatra of Rohini. This is beautiful, artistic, creative, sweet, luxurious sign. So we will talk more about that. Mercury is going to enter Sagittarius at the end of the month on November 26th, and then it will retrograde in the sign of Sagittarius in December. So we'll talk more about that, but just kind of know that Mercury will be in Scorpio from November 6th until November 26th. And Mercury in Scorpio, you know, on a global level, this is definitely going to make the media go bananas, and there may be information coming out, whether or not it's true. It's going to have this scorpionic energy to it. And remember that Scorpio is controlling and it can be manipulative. That being said, Mercury is our mouth. It's how we communicate. So all of us need to be very mindful of not being manipulative, not being too smart for our own good. And I think that there are overt ways to manipulate, and then I think that there are subtle ways to manipulate, like making a comment to someone just to get a reaction. To me, that's manipulation. If you're saying something and it's not a sincere expression of what you're feeling, it's not a sincere expression of what you're thinking, you're saying it simply to elicit a response. To me, that's a subtle way of manipulation. And there are so many more impactful, helpful ways to communicate and get our needs met. So just a reminder that can kind of be coming up with Mercury in Scorpio, but it's an outstanding time to get a new book on astrology, to get a new book on tarot, to get a new book on Kundalini or anything esoteric and mystical. It's an amazing time to begin learning these esoteric arts. So Venus will enter Libra on November 29th. We'll talk more about that next month. So K2 will enter Virgo, Rahu will enter Pisces on November 28th, and we'll stay there until May 2025. So whenever the nodes change signs, there is huge change around the world. And so we are going to see so much shift and transition occur with this transit. And again, we'll spend future episodes like totally honing in on this, but remember that Virgo is the sign of health and wellness. It's a sign of healing. It is a sign of the environment, of nature. I think this is going to be a huge theme, the natural environment, natural disasters, also climate change. I think that's going to become more of a topic. Rahu in Pisces. Pisces is the final sign of the zodiac. It is the liminal zone between material and esoteric. And also, you know, in my research, this is typically not the easiest of times. Pisces can be quite intense, right, when it's not handled with a spiritual lens. If you've been following this podcast for long, we talk about the Vajrapadas, Purva Vajrapada, Uttara Vajrapada, two of the most intense nakshatras in the zodiac are held in the sign of Pisces. And so we will continue to talk about this. We'll talk about the research and what we can expect coming up. But I think that overall, it's going to offer a period of transformation. I think that there is going to be so much evolution in society, and I think there's going to be so much of this call to move forward and to evolve. And I think that this nodal axis is just going to enhance that. I do think that there's going to be more of a spiritualist movement. I think there is going to be a lot of people kind of leaning into spirituality. Who knows, maybe even astrology will become more popular during this period. And also, you know, water. When I think of Pisces, I think of water. I think there's going to be a lot of emphasis on the natural environment and natural resources. And again, just kind of a push to move things forward. So I do think that there is some intensity on the horizon, particularly for the United States. I think there is intensity on the horizon, but I think that there are also a lot of beautiful things to anticipate as well. And on a personal level, whatever your ascendant is, Rahu and Ketu are going to transit into brand new signs. And so again, I'm going to do a public podcast on this, but if you would like, you can sign up for Patreon, patreon.com/astrologynowpodcast, where I do horoscopes for each of the 12 signs. I'll definitely make sure to go more in depth there. And yeah, so it's an entirely new chapter. Like, for example, if you're a Cancer rising, Rahu has been in your 10th house of career. It's about to move into the 9th house of education and travel and dharma and spirituality. If you are a Scorpio ascendant, Rahu has been in the 6th house of health and wellness and healing and work. Now Rahu is going to be moving into your 5th house of creativity and expression and romance and fun. So that's going to be probably a nice little relief for our Scorpio friends. So again, all of us are going to be experiencing this big shift. I cannot emphasize enough, if you are a Pisces or Virgo, this is going to be a really big time. So So I'm looking forward to continuing our conversation on Rahu and Ketu. I hope this podcast was helpful. I hope it gave you some ideas on how to navigate the month ahead. If you have any questions, you can message astrologynowpodcast@gmail.com. My readings are currently turned off while I do the Inner Knowing Vedic coaching program. I will turn those back on in about 6 months. If, again, you would like to join Patreon, it's patreon.com/astrologynowpodcast, where I do weekly horoscopes, and my Instagram is astrologynow_podcast. Again, my name is Christine Rodriguez. This is Astrology Now. Thank you so much.